It's time for the Ice Cap Podcast, the official podcast of the Jacksonville Icemen. This is your one stop for up-to-date Icemen and ECHL news. Now here's your host, Alex Reed.
And hello, Icemen Nation, and welcome to this second edition of the Ice Cap Podcast, the official podcast of the Jacksonville Icemen hockey team, where we talk everything related to the Jacksonville Icemen Hockey Club and, of course, ECHL and just the hockey world in general. But glad to be back here for really just our second show, and appreciate all the feedback we got from our first episode a couple of weeks ago. And since then, we've had so much going on here with the organization, and we're going to be talking a little bit about both of those major things. Those two things being really the roster process has begun now in the ECHL, the protected list, as well as the end of season roster, qualifying offers. What does all of that mean? We're going to talk about that here in just a couple of minutes. But of course, the big news that took place back on June 29th at a press conference in downtown Jacksonville at the Jacks Chamber, the Icemen entering a multi-year affiliation with the New York Rangers of the National Hockey League and the Hartford Wolfpack of the American Hockey League. Big news without question, a change of affiliation. The Icemen spending the first 4 years in its existence here in Jacksonville as the ECHL affiliate with the Winnipeg Jets and the Manitoba Moose of the American Hockey League. But that relationship now kind of shifting a little bit. The Icemen, I guess, coming south of the border, let's say, when it comes to their affiliation agreement. And they're going with the New York Rangers, an original six affiliation here. And very big news. It was a great day for the organization and for the city as well to kind of have these organizations all be working together here moving forward. And really, it just adds to what is already an exciting time for this organization. And of course, this summer, next month, there's going to be the groundbreaking for the Jacks Ice and Sportsplex, which will soon be renamed the Icemen Igloo, which will become the new state-of-the-art practice facility for the Jacksonville Icemen Hockey Club. And of course, a great hub now to start growing youth hockey and then the adult hockey leagues. There's so much that's going to happen here this summer, and that'll be taking place next month in August. And more information will be coming out here in the coming weeks for that. But then, of course, this being the Icemen's fifth anniversary season, that'll get going here in October. And it's also the All-Star season that will take place in January. The Icemen and the city of Jacksonville hosting the 2022 ECHL Warrior All-Star Classic. So much going on, so much to be excited about. And here we are in the month of July here, mid-July, and enjoying all this great news. But in relation to the affiliation agreement, we'll have coming up in our next segment, we'll have the assistant general manager of the Hartford Wolfpack, and that'll be Pat Bowler. He'll be joining us here on the podcast coming up in our next segment. But in this segment, we'll start today with the Icemen's roster. Now, in our first show a couple of weeks ago, Arlie Johnson and I were looking, we're recapping the previous year, the 2021 season, and talking about maybe potential players that could come back. Who do the Icemen have the rights to try to sign back? Now, here is a couple of weeks we've moved forward. You may have seen some things that have been posted by the league or the team in the social media realm talking about the protected list. Icemen announced their end of year roster, and of course, qualifying offers will be coming up here next. And really, what does all this mean? You start seeing a list of players and you're like, oh, wow, what does this mean? Does this mean that these guys are coming back? And the league announces these things because, well, it is really a three-step process where teams begin to build their rosters. And the protected list is that first thing. And you just see a bunch of names on there. And, the league has to do these things. They have to have a process for teams to protect rights to players officially. But, I think sometimes these lists really can create a lot of confusion, especially for fans and staff members, even broadcasters alike. There's a lot on there and you get excited. Whoa, I saw these players. My favorite players on that list. I can't wait for them to come back, but that's not always necessarily the case. It's just part of the process, and I'm going to break that down. I actually wrote about this in my blog, Reader's Digest, last June, about a year ago, talking about really what all this means. So I'm going to kind of break all this down here for you and kind of explain the process. And, it all starts with the protected list. And you know, again, that list has as many names as you want on it, really, that there's no limitation on what teams can put on their protected list. But it's basically any player who signed an ECHL contract and has not been traded or released, he may be added to that list. So you see that list, doesn't mean that's the roster, doesn't mean that guy's coming back. It just means the Icemen are now protecting that player's rights for at least a couple of weeks until the end of season roster comes out. And we'll get to that. That's the second step of this three-step process. With the protected list, pretty much any player who signed an ECHL contract that wasn't traded away during the season or released by the team, they may be added to this list. So you start seeing in the Iceman's case this year, they had 24 people on their list. And, you know, some pretty notable names. Obviously, you know, you look at Charles Williams, Eamon McAdam, who really played just a few weeks for the team before signing an American Hockey League contract. But he has signed an ECHL contract first, so he would be able to be protected by Jacksonville from an ECHL standpoint. But, you know, other names, Joel Messner only played a handful of games, Jeff Taylor, those guys, a couple of really nice sound defensemen in the American Hockey League. Before they went up to the AHL last year, they signed ECHL contracts with the Icemen, so the Icemen can protect their rights in the event these players come back to the ECHL next year or this upcoming year. Iceman would at least have the rights. Nobody else would have an opportunity to sign those guys. So that's kind of how this plays out. I know I saw some chatter on some of the boards. Whoa, Everett Clark was added to this list. Cameron Critchlow, he went over to Europe midseason. Why are they protected? Well, the Iceman can protect them because, well, why not? You know, you don't know how the summer is going to play out. They had the opportunity to put them on this list and get them on there. You might as well protect them and see if maybe there's a chance you could bring them back or they have a change of heart. Everett Clark didn't play a single game for the Icemen last year, but he didn't even sign a contract with Jacksonville heading into this past season, but he did receive a qualifying offer, which is the third step of this process last summer. And the protected list allows a team to put any player who was given a qualifying offer to add to this protected list. And I'm going to talk about that. What that is in just a second. But you start seeing all these names. The Icemen had 24 players on that protected list. And really all it is just allowing you to protect the players that you've signed for a short period of time until we get to that end of season roster. Now, this does not include players who were under a National Hockey League contract or an American Hockey League contract at the beginning of last season. So I did mention the two players and Messner and Taylor. Well, yeah, they did sign AHL deals, but it was after the fact that they signed an ECHL deal with the Icemen. But I'm talking about players such as Kyle Kaiser, the talented goaltender. He's under a Boston Bruins contract, so he will not be added to this list as he's property of another organization. They can assign him wherever they see fit. Again, a player like Jake Elmer. Elmer was under an NHL contract with the New York Rangers as well. He would not be added to this list because he went into the year under a contract, NHL or AHL. So those are the kind of differences. If you didn't see some of your favorite players, like, oh, well, I wish that guy was on there. Well, it doesn't mean they won't be back, but it just means the Icemen can't add those players to that list. So that's the protected list. It's just protecting rights to your ECHL contracted players. Then it moves ahead to what was most recently announced just a couple of days ago. Back on July 8th, let's say, and that is the end of season roster or season ending roster. It can be said either way. This list kind of limits you a little bit. You can no longer put anybody you want. You got to narrow the list down to no more than 20 players. And again, this is the second step of that circle step process. So that teams use to reserve rights for players coming up for the upcoming season. So the protected list as it stands right now, the Icemen protected two goaltenders, Charles Williams, who was the goaltender of the month for the month of March. No doubt the Icemen glad to be able to protect him. And of course, Eamon McAdam, who started the year with the Icemen, earned an AHL contract with the Lehigh Valley Phantoms up in the American Hockey League. But the Icemen putting him on that list just because, who knows, he may not get re-signed to the American Hockey League. He may need a place to play. And the Icemen will have that first shot at trying to sign a player such as Eamon McAdam to its roster. Now, the defenseman, the Icemen did protect, or I don't want to say protect, but put seven defensemen on their end of the season roster. Chase Harrison, Jacob Panetta, Croy Evingson, Jacob Friend, who became a quick fan favorite there with his tough and rugged play. Joel Messer, Jeff Taylor, who I mentioned, they signed American Hockey League deals up at the next level after they signed their ECHL deals. Messer signing a deal with Providence, and then Jeff Taylor signing one with Hartford after playing here in Jacksonville. And then the Icemen putting on Jacob Cederholm, who, as it stands now, kind of retired from hockey. That's why he left the team there late in the year. Just wanted to go in a different direction in his life. But the Icemen, you know, putting him on this list because, you know what, sometimes a player steps away, they might, you know, get that itch again to play. He's certainly young enough and talented enough, so why not put him on the roster and see if maybe you can bring him back if he has a change of heart in that regard. But regardless, Seed's a great, great individual, and we wish him all the best in whatever he decides to do. But this also prevents him from signing with another team, specifically maybe in your division. So again, that's the reason why the Icemen put him on this list to kind of keep it going. Now, the Icemen putting 11 forwards on this list: Abbott Gerdukas, Aaron Nazarian, the team's leading scorer from last year, Ian McKinnon, Craig Martin, Travis Howe, Nick Saraceno, Brendan Warren, Christopher Brown, Derek Lodemeyer, Pascal Aquin, and Cameron Critchlow. So those are the 20 players on the season-ending rosters. Now, what is that season-ending roster? It's a little bit more of a narrowed-down list, but from this list, the Icemen can offer players, up to 8 players off this list, a qualifying offer. And now that's the third step. What is the qualifying offer? I think this is where it gets a little bit more exciting, because qualifying offers are actually offers tendered to players. These are basically contract offers that players receive, and that's kind of exciting. Now, qualifying offers do have a little bit of a time limit. It's usually about 3 to 4 weeks. This year might be a little different. I haven't seen the timetable yet from the league, but with a condensed down and shortened offseason with everything running later than normal because of the pandemic, I don't know how long players will have to accept it. But Icemen can reserve the rights to a maximum of 8 players from this list of 20. Now, qualifying offers. If, let's just say, a player is given a qualifying offer, if he decides not to sign with Jacksonville this year and go maybe overseas, because he was given a qualifying offer by Jacksonville, the Icemen can protect that player's rights for an entire calendar year, which is, I think, a pretty cool thing. So even if, let's just say, a player decides, and again, I mentioned Everett Clark, why was he on the protected list? Now, he's not on the end of season roster list. He's not, you know, he's not eligible to be given a qualifying offer this year, but he was extended a qualifying offer last year. And even though he didn't play a single game for Jacksonville, didn't sign for Jacksonville, the Icemen still had his rights for a calendar year. And that's what's really cool about the qualifying offers. One, it's a chance to sign a player. If they accept the offer, whatever that is, the player can sign with the team, and then that is done. But if they don't sign, they decide to go overseas, or in the case of maybe Jacob Cederholm, if the Icemen were to extend one of those spots to him, they would have a whole year to keep his rights. If he decides to come back, he would have to come to Jacksonville. And of course, if players don't ever come back, but the Icemen still have their rights, those rights could be used as kind of pawns and trades. You know, you can trade the rights for these players to another team to get assets that you're trying to get, you know, in need of. So, for example, you know, the Icemen have Pascal Aquin on this end of season roster. He's a player where a high profile player. He did so much for the team. We said in our previous segment, he did sign overseas already. He's going to Europe, but Jacksonville could give him a qualifying offer to protect his rights up to a year. Now, things may not work out for Pascal Aquin over in Europe. Sometimes players get released or they find out they didn't really like it. They want to come back. If he comes back to the ECHL, he will have to sign with Jacksonville. Or because he's such a high-profile player, the Icemen could use his rights to trade to another team to get some other assets or a player now. So that's how all this works. And that's why the qualifying offers are such a big deal. And right now, again, this list of 20, the Icemen can extend qualifying offers to 8 of these players. And it's more or less to try to get these players to sign without question. Players have a 2 or 3 week window to where they can accept the qualifying offer. It must remain open for that time period. And if the player does not sign during that time, then the qualifying offer becomes null and void. And the team can still assign the qualified player to any salary, or it may elect to take no further action. So let's just say the time passes on a player, time's up on the qualifying offer, it's expired. Well, because the Iceman, as I said, qualified that player, they get to keep that player's rights for up to another year. The Iceman could say, nah, we don't have to take any further action. We don't want to sign him back, but we'll still own his rights. However, the Iceman could always sign that player later. You know, the player may not get the salary that was initially offered. So if the Iceman say, hey, we're going to extend, you know, X amount to you now. If you sign now, it's the highest we're going to go. Take it or leave it. The player say, no, I might want to wait and see if I'm going to get that American Hockey League contract. I'm going to wait and hold out. And then later in the fall, maybe that player doesn't get that American Hockey League contract. They go, okay, you have my rights. I want to come back to Jacksonville this season. Well, the team could still give the salary that player initially received, or because the player passed on it, you know, they may have to accept a lower salary as well. So again, the Iceman can use it as a bargaining chip there for players. Hey, sign now, you're going to make X amount. But again, you can't really fault a player for wanting to hold out for, you know, getting that American Hockey League contract. And that's why sometimes signings happen so late. Players kind of hold off. They want to see if they get it. If not, though, there does become a point where, okay, I got to sign somewhere to ensure that I still have a job. And so that's really how the qualifying offers work. Now, the Iceman have 20 players on here. It doesn't mean that, you know, only 8 of these guys are coming back potentially. What it means here is the Iceman can, extend these qualifying offers, try to maintain their rights, and hopefully sign some of these players. Now, qualifying offers do not have to go to players who already signed a contract. So if the Iceman have behind the scenes have already signed players, which they now can start signing these players, they don't need a qualifying offer. The players already locked these guys up. So that's another thing. The Iceman tried to sign some players earlier. Let's get these done. Let's get these deals done. That way we can use our qualifying offers to give to other players. So when the qualifying offers come out here in a couple of weeks, I don't know what the timetable is, could be in the next week or two, and you don't see your favorite player getting one, don't be disappointed. It could mean that the player has already signed with the Iceman and just hasn't been announced yet. Because sometimes there's a process for the contracts to be approved, and the team always has to wait until league approval on contracts before announcing them. But it doesn't mean that, you know, your favorite player, if he's not on the list, isn't coming back. It just means they could have already signed, or, you know, they've given a verbal commit. There's a lot of different reasons. So that's really how this process works. And of course, the Iceman welcome to sign players, free agents from all over. And I would expect that to happen as well. So that is kind of how the process works. One thing you typically won't see, and Arlie and I talked about this in our first episode a couple weeks ago, is you typically will not see a veteran player qualified. That is usually because veterans, as far as games played are concerned, I believe it's 260 games is how many games played is where you're considered a veteran. I think teams, it's more or less you're a veteran player. You've earned the right now. You've been around long enough. You've earned the right to be able to choose where you go. Most of them, that means you're probably older. You have a family, a wife, and children. And, you know, you may want to get closer to home. Some players look to do that. Some players, you just want to have that flexibility, those veteran players, to be able to move their family or just themselves and pick and choose where they want to go. They're getting older in their career. Maybe they see a team that, wow, I really like what this team's done this summer. I want to compete for a championship. I feel like this is the best spot for me. That's another reason why veterans like to have that flexibility. Now, you can, don't get me wrong, you can protect a player, or you can give a qualifying offer to a veteran player, but it's just kind of a respect thing. And in a lot of teams, and I know the Iceman and Coach Christie, most of the time, will just let the players decide, and certainly we'll have those conversations. You're only allowed 4 veteran players. And again, veteran players, any player who's played more than 260 games. So that is really how that process works. So that's another thing to think of when you see the list. You may not see some of those veteran players on that list as well. So again, that's why a player such as Eric Bradford is not on this list. You didn't see Wacy Rabbit on the end of season roster list. Those are veteran players. Again, they could very well come back. They could have already had those conversations, but it's a respect thing. Plus, you're kind of wasting that qualifying offer you could give to protect another player's rights let the players at the veteran level, let them pick and choose where they want to go. It's just kind of like one of those unwritten rules, but you can definitely protect one. Some teams have done it. Not very many do. And I think the Icemen most of the time opt to not protect the veteran players. And I think when one of the players that you look at this end of season roster that just fell short of becoming a veteran, and this is really a bargain for the Icemen, is Nick Saraceno. He's a guy that obviously one of the top players in this team, finished on the team second in scoring just behind Aaron Nazarian. But Nick Saraceno fell, I believe, just two games shy of becoming eligible to be a veteran player. Now, that's a situation where, what a bargain for the Icemen, because they can qualify him, protect his rights. And I know they would love to have him back, but he's such a high impact player. But for Nick Saraceno, he did get injured. He was out for 2 or 3 weeks nursing an injury, and that injury ultimately, prevented him from getting enough games at the end of the year to become a veteran player and had that opportunity. So it may be disappointing for Nick to not be able to have that flexibility to become a veteran this year, but the Icemen, for them, it actually is a benefit by default, by accident, really, and by the unfortunate situation of Nick getting injured. He fell just short, but that's a player I could very well see maybe being qualified here for Jacksonville if, of course, he hasn't signed already. And the good news about Nick Saraceno, if he does come back, he won't be counted. He won't count towards one of those top four or those four veteran spots that you're allotted on your roster. So that is pretty much the process. I know it's a lot to take in, but I think it's important to explain the process because I think, for fans and people looking at it, it can be very confusing. Trust me, it's quite a process. The league has to have a process, but I think it sometimes creates a lot of confusion and puts a lot of false narratives out there, like, oh my gosh, these guys are coming back, we're looking good. And that's really not the case. It's not how it works. But I did want to explain really how that works. So to kind of summarize it and bring it all together, protected list, you can put anyone on that list that signed an ECHL contract with your team. As long as that player wasn't traded or released during the season, you could protect those players and just put them on the list. And that pretty much buys you a couple weeks of time until the end of season roster, where that has to be narrowed down. You have to limit that to 20 players. And then from that list of 20, you are allowed to extend qualifying offers to a maximum of 8 players. And again, the qualifying offers are pretty much contract offers for players. And if they don't sign, they go overseas, they do something else. It also allows you to hold the rights to that player for a calendar year. So the Icemen will have the rights to that player if they come back to this league, or they can utilize that in a trade to trade the rights of that player to another team to get other assets. The Icemen will have those players for another year as far as their contractual rights. So that's how that works. So when that list comes out, and it will here shortly, you'll see up to 8 names. It could be less or it could be the full 8. But that when you see those names, you'll go, okay, great. This is a, even if the player does leave to go overseas and gets tempted by all the big happenings over there with, benefits and, of course, all the stuff that you can't do because there's salary cap violations in the ECHL, if they do decide to come back or it doesn't work out, the Icemen will have those rights. And I think that's important to know. So, but that's where it gets exciting, qualifying offers, because those are contract offers and it is a chance to see that. But again, as I said, the caveat on this, if you don't see your favorite player on the list of 8, it doesn't mean the Icemen they can't get him back. It just means, they either have already signed a contract, just hasn't been approved yet by the league and hasn't been announced by the team, or, it means maybe they, worked a verbal agreement and, it helps the team out by being able to sign and protect the rights to other players instead. So there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, but this is that time of year where it starts to ramp up. And I kind of wanted to explain that. Again, if you do a search on the web there, I've kind of got it all written out on the Reader's Digest blog. So, it goes back to, I think, June 2nd of 2020 is when I wrote it up. Kind of lays it all out there just to kind of give you an idea of how it goes. And hope I did a good job explaining that. I know it's a lot to take in. There's a lot of verbiage and all this stuff, but it is quite the process. And but I wanted to explain it because I think it's important for the fans to know really how this works. And That's really how this process is going moving forward. And you're going to start seeing some signings here coming up here in the next several weeks. And it's going to be an exciting time because this is really a short off season. It usually is short in general, but it's going to be even shorter this year. The league and teams really having to expedite how they're doing business on the hockey operations side of things. So that's really how the process works with protected list, end of season roster, and of course, qualifying offers. That will be the next step. And I'm certain Arlie and I, in our next podcast, we'll break down what that qualifying offers list, once that's released, we'll start to talk about it. And maybe we'll have some more additional news on player signings at that point as well. But we'll be able to talk about the pros and cons and look at who the Icemen decide to give qualifying offers to, because that we can see how those potentially could play out for the organization moving forward. So with that, we'll take a break here and then come back. As I mentioned, some of the other big news that the Icemen have had here is that they've entered into a multi-year affiliation agreement with the New York Rangers of the National Hockey League and the Hartford Wolfpack of the American Hockey League as well. Pat Bowler was on hand for that, and he had an opportunity to say some words there at the press conference. So a lot going on here for this organization, and that announcement that was made back on June 29th, announcing the affiliation agreement. It was quite a special day there at the Jack Chamber, and here's a little bit of the audio from that announcement.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Andy, thank you, Bob, and the entire Icemen team for your continued investment in Jacksonville. We are grateful to have such an amazing team and ownership group that is so committed to our community here, including local NFL greats Tim Tebow, Miles Jack, Reggie Hayward. The mayor is grateful for your involvement and the success both on and off the ice for the Jacksonville Icemen. This team has been an amazing partner to our community. And on behalf of Mayor Curry, it's my honor to extend the warmest Jacksonville welcome to the NHL's New York Rangers and the AHL's Hartford Wolfpack. This is a big deal. Our own Jacksonville Icemen are now affiliated with one of the most storied teams in the NHL, one of the original six teams in the league, and winners of four Stanley Cups. This deal will help create greater growth and a brighter future for Jacksonville as a sports mecca in our nation. So again, thank you to Andy and Bob and the team for the partnership. Thank you to the Rangers and the Wolfpack for your confidence in Jacksonville. And we'll see you on the ice in the Vistar Veterans Memorial Arena.
And that was some of the audio from the big press conference back on June 29th, where the Icemen announcing their multi-year affiliation agreement with the Rangers and the Hartford Wolfpack. We'll take a break, come back, and we'll have the assistant general manager of the Hartford Wolfpack, and that's Pat Bowler. He was there at the press conference. We'll have a conversation with him to talk about the new agreement here from an affiliation standpoint for the Icemen and those organizations. Should be a great thing ahead for all parties involved. That conversation coming up here after this break. You're listening to the Ice Cap Podcast.
Full and half season Icemen Elite memberships are currently on sale. Elite memberships offer discounted ticket pricing and guarantees you the same seats to enjoy all of the action. As an Elite member, you will be invited to attend exclusive events throughout the season, receive merchandise and parking discounts, and even meet the team. Monthly payment plans are also available. Packages start as low as $260. For more information, contact the Icemen office at 904-602-PUCK or log on to jacksicemen.com. Icemen Hockey, feel the freeze.
And we welcome you back to the Ice Cap Podcast, the official podcast for the Jacksonville Icemen hockey team, as we cover everything Jacksonville Icemen hockey and ECHL and hockey as well. And of course, as you heard in the previous segment, the Icemen with the big news so far this summer on June 29th, announcing a multi-year affiliation with the New York Rangers of the National Hockey League and the Hartford Wolfpack of the American Hockey League. And here to join us, as promised, from the New York Rangers, assistant general manager of the Rangers, and that's Pat Bowler. Pat, thanks for joining us here and welcome to the program.
Good. Assistant general manager of the Wolfpack.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. I was trying to add it up a little bit there, get you a little higher up on the totem there.
No worries.
Well, looking at how everything played out here, you were here for the announcement and here in Jacksonville, and really, you know, it's one of those things, a multi-year affiliation here with the team, and just really take us through this process of really how all this relationship was forged between the two entities here.
Well, honestly, we've been with Maine for a couple of years now, and I don't even know how long ago, but at one point they came to us and told us that they were going to move on to sign with Boston and Providence. So at that point, we started to sniff around and see what teams were out there that were interested in possibly affiliating with us. I talked to a couple of teams. We had Elmer down there with you guys already prior to this. And Jeff Taylor had come up at the beginning of the season. So I had a little bit of relationship with Coach Christie there. And then obviously, as you know, I know Bob. So, you know, we had kind of talked a little bit. I talked to the other teams that were in the mix. And then here you go. We're kind of rocking and rolling. I saw what the organization had to offer. I know, you know, what type of coach Coach Christie is. And I know how Bob runs things. So all those things were definitely things that helped us make the decision a lot easier.
Yeah, you guys go way back. I know Bob's been, he's got a pretty rich history in the American Hockey League. I think he's been everywhere. And I don't think there's one person in hockey that he doesn't know, but obviously it had to be good to catch up with, Bob Roblo. And of course, the winningest coach here in the league and Jason Christie.
Yeah. It's like I said, I've known Jason over the years, just, you know, dealing with, players for call-ups, and a lot of times I would reach out to different teams to kind of see what other players are out there and, you know, possible PTOs and that kind of thing. So I've had a relationship with him from that standpoint. And then Bob, like back in the day when the Connecticut Whale were here, Bob was a big part of that whole transformation. And I mean, we were on the ground together, him and I, kind of coordinating, you name it, everything from jerseys to tickets to player appearances, the Whale Bowl we had, which was an exciting event. So I've known Bob for a real long time, and I know how hard he works, and he does a great job.
Well, you were talking about the process, and knowing Bob obviously helped, and Coach Christie as well. But really, you look at Jacksonville as a whole, the organization, the city, all the amenities that are coming up here with the practice rink and that's being renovated as well, and the new apartments, all these types of things that are taking place. Really, what was it about Jacksonville that really had the edge in your mind over all the other organizations you may have been considering?
Well, I think the first thing obviously is, the proximity is important. Like, we wanted to try to stay on the East Coast just because getting players in and out in a moment's notice is pretty important. So that was one of the things we looked in right away is, okay, how long does it take us to get a player here? And from a standpoint of Jacksonville, it's basically four and a half hours, like, so we can get guys out. I think there's a 5:30 flight in the morning that can get us a guy here at 10 a.m. if we needed to. So that's one of the first things I think about. And then obviously after that, we looked at what they have to offer, like what's the building like, how are the players treated? Talk to some people, talk to some players, and ask around. And once again, like you said, I know Bob and the type of things that they do. So, we did some homework there, talked to Bob a little bit. He told me all the plans they had, and I saw some of the plans they had. And those were definitely things that helped put it over the top. The practice rink, the main rink, the new apartments, all that stuff was definitely things that helped us, decide and take on Jacksonville as our affiliate.
Well, you happened to be at the press conference announcing this affiliation agreement there back on June 29th. What was your initial reaction about, we had a big crowd there. We had the playbill programs and, the bagels and all that stuff, trying to get the New York spirit. But what was your initial reaction of really the crowd that showed up there? There was a lot of excitement that day.
Well, it's funny. I was kind of sitting in the front row. And when I first walked in, there wasn't a lot of people there. So I was just kind of sitting there, talking to people. And then when I got called up to the podium, I looked back and the room was full. And I was absolutely amazed by the turnout. Like, it was definitely top notch. And I mean, to me, it shows the care that the city has. I mean, the councilmen, the Chamber of Commerce, just the people from the building that were there, and fans and media. I mean, the coverage was unbelievable. It was basically like being at a first grade organization's NHL press conference. Like, the room was full, and I was absolutely amazed when I got up to the front. And like I said, it just, to me, it proves to me that the level of care that the organization has and the city has about the team. And I think that's also going to be an important factor for our players to know that when they go out there, there's going to be people cheering them on and supporting them throughout the city. And I think that's, it's outstanding.
Well, Pat, it's apparent the Rangers and the Hartford Wolfpack have put a lot of value in establishing an ECHL affiliate. I mean, I know you guys were with Greenville at one point and with Maine. Really, what are the benefits of having an ECHL affiliate, and how has the organization utilized that, those relationships?
Well, the one thing we've always tried to do is we don't want to have players sitting around in Hartford if they're not playing. So from that standpoint, to have 3-4 guys as extras here not playing, that's not going to help their development. So first and foremost, we want players to be able to play and develop. And sometimes it's not easy for the player to understand that, you know, they're going to the East Coast Hockey League, but it is important for them to know it's a place where they can play games, hone their skills, and then when they're called upon, be ready to play in a game in the American Hockey League. And I think that's one of the first things. The other part is, you know, we have a player development crew with, you know, Jed Ortmeier and Tanner Glass. We have, you know, our goalie coach, Jeff Malcolm. We just hired another goalie coach that's coming. So like from that standpoint, and then our skills coach tries to make trips down there as well. So from that standpoint, we'd like to get our hands on the players as well and kind of help them develop in that standpoint. And then we're always checking in with them. Ordy does a great job of making sure that players, no matter where they are, whether in the East Coast or anywhere in the organization, he's reaching out to them, or someone from our player care and development area is reaching out to them, making sure that they know, you know, what they need to do to make it to the next level and to continue to progress. And I think the East Coast Hockey League is a huge component in that. And then having Coach Christie with his experience and the things that he believes in when it comes to preparing a player to take it to the next level, it's really important. And, you know, we're excited about that as well.
Well, last season was it's unique for everybody in all levels of hockey. Obviously, you know, when you looking at how the pandemic affected things, but you know, you had expanded rosters, there was the player safety playing in small rinks. There was a lot of different things there, you know, maybe not even playing in front of fans at some points. You know, what were the challenges, in playing in this type of format and these situations, and did it make it easier or a little bit more difficult for player development last year?
I think the biggest challenge was getting it going. That was probably the biggest challenge because everything kind of happened so fast. But once we got the structure set up, the way we were doing things here in Hartford, the way they were doing things in New York and getting players to us, we had a couple of extra players around not playing just because we needed to have that taxi squad, because it was hard to get players up and down from, you know, East Coast League with the uncertainty, the quarantine days. That was probably a little bit of a challenge. But for the most part, I mean, we made it through the season unscathed. We didn't miss a game all season due to any effects. So it was great that way. Playing the same team may be a little bit of a challenge, but once again, we usually play them 12 times a game anyway. 12 times a year, meaning Bridgeport and Providence. So from that standpoint, it was the same, but obviously usually you kind of sprinkle in a little bit of a Hershey or something else in between, which made it challenging, but the guys got used to it and, you know, we made the best of it. And the coaches were able to do a little bit more from a skill development, practice development, teaching standpoint, because we had a little bit less time. More time in between games as opposed to, you know, 3-3s and all that stuff. So.
We're here on the Iceman podcast, joined by the assistant general manager of the Hartford Wolfpack, and it's Pat Bowler. And Pat, the NHL draft's coming up here in a couple weeks. You know, is this the time of year where it's hectic leading up to the draft and the weeks leading up, or is kind of the so-called plan in place, and really you just got to see how it plays out? Where does it kind of lie here when you're just weeks away from a big day such as the NHL draft?
Yeah, I mean, I've obviously not been that directly connected to it, but I mean, I've experienced and I've seen there and been there before. But for the most part, that's their meetings have been, you know, constant throughout the year. Their lists are, you know, pretty much developed and ready to go. And, you know, I think from a standpoint of getting there the next couple of weeks leading up to the draft and that 1 week before, they'll have some meetings and prepare for that and see what's to come. But for the most part, it's all well lined up already.
Great. Well, Pat, here, before I let you go, you know, you've been with the organization there at Hartford for 14 years. You know, you've been there as an assistant coach, now assistant general manager. You know, any memorable moments you'd like to share during your time? And you know, what do you like most? What do you like best about working for Hartford and with the Rangers organization?
I mean, I've been with the organization for a long, long time, since 98. Started actually in team operations as an intern, and kind of worked my way through almost every aspect of hockey, which has been great. So for me, that's probably one of the most proud things that I could say I have, is that I've been through almost every area of the organization, which is kind of a cool thing to do. And I mean, there's been so many different things. I mean, I've been a part of retirement ceremonies. We had some really good cup runs, you know, with New York a couple of years back. We had a cup run here in Hartford, which was amazing. You know, when we transitioned from Hartford to the Whale and then back to Hartford, I mean, that was definitely an interesting time and a lot of fun. And to me, like, those are the things that, you know, keep you going, because you're busy, because there's always something going on and you're preparing for an event or, you know, a game or a series or whatever it is. And to be a part of those experiences and all the people I've been around over the years that I've worked with, coaches, trainers, staff, it's pretty amazing. And I'm pretty honored to have been around this long and learned so many things from all these different people.
Awesome. Well, listen, Pat, you know, we look forward to this partnership, you know, with the Wolfpack and the Rangers here moving forward. But I really, again, it's going to be exciting times down here, I think, for everybody, as all organizations are going to be working together here. But I appreciate your time. Thanks for spending a couple minutes here to join us here on the podcast. And we look to talk to you here again.
Thanks, Alex. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right. You too. And that was manager of the Hartford Wolfpack, Pat Bowler, joining us here on the Ice Cap Podcast. We'll take a break, close things out here today. And you're listening to Ice Cap Podcast.
Fans, don't forget that you, your friends, or coworkers can enjoy the exciting action of Iceman hockey comfortably above the ice in a spacious luxury suite or at ice level with our new ice boxes, available for all Iceman home games. Both options offer food and drink and make for a great way to entertain your company's employees and top clients. For more information and to check game date availability, contact the Iceman office at 904-602-PUCK. Or log on to jacksicemen.com. Iceman hockey, feel the freeze.
And welcome back to the Ice Cap Podcast, the official podcast of the Jacksonville Iceman hockey team. And just want to take a moment to thank Pat Bowler, the assistant general manager of the Hartford Wolfpack, for talking to us in our previous segment there. And just, again, the big agreement going on between the Rangers, Wolfpack, and the Iceman. Again, the things just continue to roll for this Iceman club as far as excitement is concerned. And, of course, next month, the big event that'll be taking place will be the beginning of the renovation over at the Jacksonville Iceman Sportsplex, which will soon be renamed the Iceman Igloo. It's going to become a state-of-the-art facility for not only the Jacksonville Iceman, and kind of be a home for them. And that's where the Iceman offices will be located as well. But they'll be putting in a pro shop, a restaurant, bar, and, of course, an extra sheet of ice, which is really going to help grow youth hockey here in this area. I know they really want to focus on that, which will be the legacy, I think, of this whole thing. And of course, the adult leagues as well, figure skating, public skating. This is going to be a great, great thing for the city and for the organization. And we'll have more on that coming up here in the coming weeks. But that'll pretty much do it here for this segment. Again, I do want to let everybody know that the Iceman season gets going in October. It is the fifth anniversary and also all-star season for the Jacksonville Iceman hockey team. And the Iceman have a lot of fun stuff planned here for the year. Just keep it locked on jacksiceman.com. And of course, right here on this podcast, we'll keep you posted as well, but certainly not too late to get your ticket packages for next year. There are flexible full season plans, also partial season plans. There's obviously a plan there for anyone to fit your budget and your schedule as well. So you want to be involved in the action, especially to reserve your spot for the ECHL All-Star Classic, which will come up in January. So again, go to jacksiceman.com or give the office a call at 904-602-7825. Again, that's 904-604-7825.
let me get that right. 904-602-7825 and talk to one of our representatives and give you all the options as well. But lots of stuff to be happening here. It's going to be exciting here in the next couple of weeks. We'll have it for you here on the podcast, especially as player signings start to take place. And in our next episode, we'll definitely get into the qualifying offers that will be announced here in the coming weeks as well. Before we lock it and close it out here today, again, I want to thank Pat Bowler with the Hartford Wolfpack. And of course, Michael Rappaport, one of the media directors over there with the New York Rangers, for setting up that interview. Certainly appreciate all his help in getting that interview set up. And also just want to thank all the fans for continued support. Appreciate you listening here, trying to keep you guys up to date here. I hope you're enjoying the podcast here and all the news as well. But it is definitely an exciting time to be part of the Iceman family, and we can't wait to continue to watch it grow. I've been your host, Alex Reed. Until next time, we'll see you here on the Ice Cap Podcast.